You're pounding down the highway at the legal limit. At first it's fun, then it's routine. Finally, it's monotonous. And that's when the driving drowsy snuck. Don't take extra chances. Pull over and fight back with No-Doze. No-Doze has the strongest stimulant you can buy without a prescription, and it's not habit-forming. No-Doze. No car should be without it.
Here comes the star attraction, so don't you touch. Here comes the man of action, here comes the judge.
Monitor 68, your friendly and informative weekend companion. Many of the famous words said by our presidents were written by ghostwriters. You'll find out who some of them were shortly. Here's Jack Jones. This world is yours.
Where have you gone, you bright-eyed general dreamer? Where is the man you thought you that this land's worth everything you're giving? Are you so brave and are you so cold-hearted? Or was it fear that started that rage inside of you? This world is yours, you
chicken was great, but what a mess. Hands full of grease and sand. Then suddenly you remember. You have some wash and dry in the picnic basket. You wipe hands and face with the wash and dry towelette. Then instead of feeling greasy and sticky, you feel clean and refreshed. Smart people freshen up any place without soap and water with wash and dry. Shouldn't you?
Men used to ignore me, no romance in sight. But now they adore me, since my toothpaste is a drop bright. Pow! Ultra Bright entered my life. Wow! Ultra Bright changed my whole life. I can't conceal how I feel, my dazzling smile is for real. Ultra Bright, give your appeal.
Many of the memorable phrases, speeches, and slogans that have moved our nation and swayed its electorate down through history
were not necessarily original with the men who spoke them. In fact, many of the pages in history were written, you might say, by political ghostwriters. Our monitor guest, Roger Barrefield, has an article on presidential ghostwriters in the current issue of Life magazine. Mr. Butterfield, did George Washington or Abraham Lincoln have ghostwriters?
Well, Washington had some very able ghostwriters. Alexander Hamilton ghosted speeches and statements and messages to Congress for Washington over most of the time he was president. And when it came to writing his farewell address, Hamilton was his chief consultant and provided him with most of the words.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about Lincoln? Did he have any?
Lincoln was a man who wrote everything himself, but he did find much inspiration in things that he had read, and he borrowed some very pointed phrases, some of which have come down as particularly attached to his name, such as the government of the people, by the people, and for the people. This was something he'd read only a few years before he used it in the Gettysburg Address in a lecture given by Theodore Parker in Boston, which was published. And we know he read it because the book that he read was underlined in pencil at that very phrase and returned to his law partner.
This
documents his interest in the phrase, and it shows it shows where it came from in his speech.
Mm-hmm. Among presidents, how many worked behind Eisenhower?
He had dozens. You could identify probably 15 or 20 during the 8 years he was involved in politics and the presidency who assisted him in speeches.
Well, use the term ghostwriters. Let's pursue this just for a second. What we're really saying is a presidential aide or somebody like this in modern times.
They're known as assistants and consultants and secretaries, and they have different titles.
Do they perform other functions than ghostwriting?
They certainly do, and they're expected to take part in not only ghosting the spoken words, but very often helping ghost the policies, as it were, and the thinking along policy lines of presidents, although they're confidants. A man like Ted Sorensen with President John F. Kennedy was a man who was very close to policy making and could be relied on for advice that would be along the lines Kennedy needed at the time. And, of course, much surprise has been evoked by the discovery that one of his most famous phrases, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country, came from a published speech of 1884 by Oliver Wendell Holmes, Jr.
Thank you very much, sir. Our guest has been author, historian, ghostwriter expert, Roger Butterfield, whose article on presidential ghostwriters is in the current issue of Life magazine.
Come to your American Motors dealer to save a ton of money on a car.
If he's got nothing that you'll buy,
we promise you he won't be sore.
He'll be polite and he won't cry.
At least not till you leave the store.
Save a ton of money on the Rebel, the beautiful machine, the roomy machine for the whole family.
Come to your American Motors dealer to save a ton of money on a car right now. Steve instead plays
Next Sunday, Monitor will present another installment of its Second Sunday 68 series. The program will look into the causes of violence in American society today and the analysis by some behavioral authorities who say the nation bears a collective guilt for the recent killings of public figures. NBC News correspondent Frank McGee will report. Later in this half hour, Mel Allen and the latest sports results on the Monitor Beacon.
Don't let anyone tell you how many children you should have. But after you decide how many you want and when you want to have them, let Planned Parenthood help you choose a simple, safe, and effective method for planning your family. For information on birth control, call Planned Parenthood of New York City, 421-2290. Planned Parenthood, 421-2290.
Monday morning, July 8th, from 9:30 to 10, a unique 30-part television series premieres on Channel 4, Read Your Way Up. WNBC-TV, in cooperation with Manpower Education Institute, will present this daily program designed to improve the reading skills of viewers in the tri-state metropolitan area. The educational course is designed to help everyone from high school dropouts to graduates whose reading skills might be below standard. Watch Read Your Way Up, premiering Monday, July 8th at 9:30 on Channel 4.
Monitor, New York. WNBC, New York.
Monitor Music, a new one by Pickett. Montage from House Weed It Is.
Jab at your eyes, and the driving is monotonous. You've got the driving drowsies. Don't take extra chances. Pull over and fight back with No-Doze. No-Doze has the strongest stimulant you can buy without a prescription, and it's not habit forming. No-Doze. No car should be without it.
Michelle Lee, I didn't come to New York to meet a guy from my hometown.
I didn't come to New York to meet a guy from my hometown. And now you're bending my mind to marry you and settle down. Why don't you go to San Francisco? Hey, everyone who's been there says it's moving too. My hometown. You say it's all in the stars. To me, down here is destiny. We would have met in St. Paul if you and I were meant to be. You'd be unhappy if you tied me down with so much to prove. You wouldn't stop me now when I'm too close to finding my groove. You know that my freedom to move. I know I didn't come to New York to meet a guy from my hometown.
Mm-hmm.
from my hometown. David, go home. Don't make me say it again. Please don't make me. Come on. Get off my.
Changing, things are changing, 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 things are changing.
It used to be that smoking a reduced tar cigarette made you feel alone in the world. Not today. Things are changing. Today there's true. You're not alone anymore. Not alone, because today smokers everywhere are changing to True Filter cigarettes. 12.8 milligrams tar, 0.7 milligrams nicotine, and it tastes like a cigarette.
Changing, changing, things are changing.
With or without menthol, shouldn't your brand be True?
What happened today in sports? Here's Mel Allen.
Thank you very much, Brad. Hello there, everybody. On the Monitor Baseball scoreboard in the National League, the Phils and Mets split. In the first game, Philadelphia was the winner, 4-3. Dick Hall beat Ron Taylor. Johnny Callison and Richie Allen homered for the Phils. In the second game, New York was the winner, 4-2, as Danny Frisella beat Larry Jackson. The Cubs swept the Pirates, 5-4 in the opener, Phil Regan beating Bob Veal. Ernie Banks hit a grand slammer for the Cubs, and Jose Arcia homered, and for the Pirates, Don Clendenin. Chicago won the second game 4-3, with Phil Regan getting his second win of the day. Elroy Face was charged with the loss. Roberto Clemente homered for Pittsburgh. It was Houston 5, Atlanta 4. Milt Pappas, the winning pitcher, and Larry Dereker, the loser. Norm Miller and Jim Wynn homered for the Astros, and for the Braves, Hank Aaron hit a pair. He now has 18 for the season and 499 lifetime. The Cardinals won their seventh in a row, blanking San Francisco 2-0. Larry Jaster got the win. Gaylord Perry charged with a loss. And the Dodgers snapped a six-game losing streak as they beat Cincinnati 6-5. Jim Grant getting the win. Clay Carroll charged with a loss. Mac Jones hit a home run for Cincinnati. In the American League, the Yanks and Orioles split. New York won the opener 3-1. Mel Stottlemyre, the winning pitcher. Jim Mahardon, the loser. Roy White and Andy Kosko homered for New York. Elrod Hendricks for the Orioles. In the second game, Baltimore nosed out New York 3-2. Tom Phoebus beating Stan Bonson. Elrod Hendricks and Fred Valentine homering for Baltimore. And Bill Robinson for New York. The league-leading Detroit Tigers took two from the Athletics. 5-4 in the opener, with Denny McClain getting his 16th win. Ed Sprague, the losing pitcher. Dick McAuliffe and Willie Horton homered for Detroit. It was Horton's 21st of the year. Sal Bando and Reggie Jackson hit home runs for Oakland. Detroit nosed out Oakland in the second game, 7-6. Joe Sparmer beat Jim Nash. Al Kaline homering for Detroit. And for the A's, Reggie Jackson again, and two more for Sal Bando. Boston swept a doubleheader from Minnesota, 4-3, with Ray Culp the winner over Jim Cott. Carl Yastrzemski homering for the Red Sox and Bob Allison for the Twins. Boston won the second game 6-3 for their eighth straight win. Gary Wasluski, the winning pitcher. Jim Merritt, the losing pitcher. Carl Yastrzemski and Joe Foy homering for Boston and Tony Oliva for the Twins. The Indians and Angels split. Cleveland beat California 8-3 in the first game. Louis Tiant getting his 14th victory. Jim McLaughlin, the losing pitcher. Duke Sims homering for Cleveland. In the second game, California defeated Cleveland 9-7. Sammy Ellis, the winning pitcher, and the losing pitcher was Steve Hargan. Don Mincher homering for the Angels. Chicago beat Washington 4-3 in 11 innings. Don McMahon, the winning pitcher, Bob Humphries, the losing pitcher, and Mike Epstein hit a home run for the Senators. Willie Mays will start in left field for the National League in Tuesday's All-Star game, replacing Pete Rose, who broke his right thumb Friday night. That's the late sports news, Brad. Mel Allen here, friends, reminding you that for more features and news from the world of sports, stay tuned to Monitor.
Thank you, Mel. On Tuesday, July 9th, from the Houston Astrodome, NBC Television and Radio will bring you the 39th Major League All-Star Baseball Game at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. MacArthur Park, Part 1, Russ David. Wherever you are, be at home with Monitor. Eastern Tennessee hears us on WATE in Knoxville. Monitor continues with the award-winning NBC News program, The World and Washington, an in-depth look at the United States in world affairs. This is Brad Crandall.
Hi, this is Bill Cullen, emphasis time off. Join me weekdays on NBC Radio.